going to introduce to you where we are in the story. We go through the Bible every week, and today is like every other week. We have a little passage that we get to. Now, the passage we've got to in the Bible this week is a brilliant story, and it's great for an all-age service. So it's great that you're all here. We're going to read it out dramatically. I've got some very highly trained, rather skilled, dramatic people who are going to come and read it at the front. Then I'm going to say some words from it. But let me set the scene for you. That would probably help. The scene is King Saul is in charge. He has been rejected by God and told, you're not going to be king. Someone better than you is going to be king. But he doesn't like that idea. And he is fighting to stop the change happening. The new king, King David, has been anointed. He's going to be king, but he's not king yet. And everything hinges on this great big long period where there is a coming king, but nobody recognizes him as king yet. And this is one of the stories right in the middle. And it has two people, one who recognize him as king and the other who doesn't. Now, I've chosen these parts very carefully. Casting's been very carefully done. I'd like my cast to come up the front. I'm going to commentate. I'm going to put the 1 Samuel 25 is what you need to read. It's page 209 in the Bibles. You can follow it through word for word in the Bibles, page 209. And it's chapter 25 of 1 Samuel. Page 209. You're going to need to speak up. I've got a microphone. You haven't. Okay. Listen to the story, the true story from God's word. Now, Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him. They buried him at his home in Ramah, and then David moved down into the desert of Maon. A certain man from Maon, who had property at Carmel, was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep, and he was shearing in Carmel. His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman. But her husband, a Calebite, was surly and mean in his dealings. While David was in the desert, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep. So he sent 10 young men and said to them,
go up to Nabal in Carmel and greet him in my name. Say to him, long life to you, good health to you and your household, and good health to all that is yours. Now I hear that it is sheep shearing time. When your shepherds were with us, we did not mistreat them. And the whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. Ask your own servants, and they will tell you. Therefore be favourable towards my young men, since we come at a festive time. Please give your servants and your son David whatever you can find for them.
When David's men arrived, they gave Nabal this message in David's name, and then they waited. Nabal answered David's servants,
who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water, the meat that I have slaughtered for my servants, and give it to men come from who knows where?
David's men turned round and went back, and when they arrived, they reported every word. David said to them,
put on your swords.
So they put on their swords. And David put on his sword. About 400 men went up with David, while 200 stayed with the supplies. One of the servants told Nabal's wife Abigail,
David sent messengers from the desert to give our master his greetings. But our master hurled insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us. And the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing. night and day. They were all around us, all the time we were herding our sheep near them. Now, think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him.
Abigail lost no time. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 seers of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, 200 cakes of pressed figs, loaded them on donkeys, and then she told her servants,
"Go on ahead, I'll follow you."
But she didn't tell her husband Nabal. And as she came riding her donkey into a mountain ravine, there was David and his men descending towards her, and she met them. David had just said,
"It's been useless. All my watching over this fellow's property in the desert so that nothing of his was missing. He has paid me back evil for good. May God deal with David, be ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him."
When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey, bowed down before David with her face to the ground, falling at his feet and saying,
"My lord, let the blame be on me alone. Please let your servant speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. May my lord pay no attention to that wicked man Nabal. He is just like his name. His name is fool, and folly goes with him. But as for me, your servant, I did not see the men my master sent. Now, since the Lord has kept you, my master, from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, may your enemies and all who intend to harm my master be my neighbor. And let this gift, which your servant has brought to my master, be given to the men who follow you. Please forgive your servant's offense, for the Lord will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my master, because he fights the Lord's battles. Let no wrongdoing be found in you as long as you live. Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of my master will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies, he will hurl away as from the pocket of a sling. When the Lord has done for my master everything he promised concerning him and has appointed him leader over Israel, my master will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. And when the Lord has brought my master success, remember your servant."
David then said to Abigail,
"Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has kept me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak."
Then David accepted from her hand what she brought him and said,
"Go home in peace. I have heard your words and granted your request."
Now, when Abigail went back to her house that night, her husband was so drunk that she told him nothing until daybreak. And then in the morning, when Nabal was sober, his wife told him everything that had happened, and his heart failed him. He had a heart attack. And about 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal and he died. When David heard about that, he said,
"Praise be to the Lord who has upheld my cause against Nabal for treating me with contempt. He has kept his servant from doing wrong and has brought Nabal's wrongdoing down on his own head."
Then David sent word to Abigail asking her to become his wife. Great answer to the end of this. We're going to stop there. Let's sit down. Okay, that was the story. We've read the whole chapter. Well done, everyone listening to it. I want you to listen carefully now because I've got some questions to ask. Do you know what your name means? Well, I looked it up. My name means honoured by God. And I looked up Harry, which means leader of armies. Did you know that? I looked up Tom, which means twin. They're all good names, aren't they? Sometimes you hear names that are a bit weird. I heard of a girl called Sky and a boy called Winter. I like Sophie, though, because that means wise. Can you imagine parents giving their children any of these names, though? Listen. Stupid. Fool or idiot. Can you imagine that? I christen you stupid. Well, that is what happened in this story. Or maybe it didn't happen. Maybe Nabal, whose name was Fool, didn't get the name when he was born. He just was foolish all his life. Maybe he did silly things and he didn't learn from his mistakes and he was rude to his teachers. And in the end, everyone just called him Fool. That was his name. The name stuck. Well, listen, let me read about him and you can tell me why you think he was called Fool. Verse 2. A man had property at Carmel. He was very rich. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep, which is like saying he had 5 houses and 20 cars and 10 televisions and a swimming pool. Very rich. His name was Nabal. And we learn from verse 3 that he was harsh and badly behaved, which means he was sulky and mean. Do you sulk? Ever? Really? Well, he was like that all the time. So he was a rich man, he had loads of money, but he was not very nice. The story tells us how nasty he was. Do you remember all those sheep, 3,000 of them? David and his men used to look after them for him. And when he sent their men to go and say, can you give us some food for looking after your sheep? He said, no. In fact, he said, who is this David, this son of Jesse? Another servant breaking away from his master? Why should I take my bread and my water and my meat and give it to him? So he said no. And the key thing to notice is who he was saying no to. He was saying no to the future king. That would be like you driving along in your car and Prince William, the Duke of Cambridge, has had a puncture and he's saying, can I have a lift? And you saying, no, it's my car. You can't come in my car. I don't know who you are. When you know full well who he is. Would you do that to the future king? That would be a very, very foolish thing to do. Well, there's a verse in the Bible that says people are like that, and it says this. The fool says in his heart, there's no God. The fool says in his heart, there's no God. That's Psalm 14, verse 1. Now, he might say it quietly to himself, or not out loud. There's no one who can tell me what I can do, is what he's thinking. I'm in charge. I've got my house and my toys, and I don't want anyone else to play with them. They're mine. Have you ever said anything like that? Oh, maybe you have. Maybe you've also thought, well, I don't need God. I don't need anything he's got to give me. I've got everything for myself. To be like that would be to be like Nabal, which would be to be a fool. Now, maybe you meet somebody like this at school. A boy being rude to his teacher, disobeying school rules. Saying nasty things about other people. Well, that's a fool because he thinks there's no God who can see what they're doing and is a good judge. Or maybe you can see this person at work. They laugh at anyone who talks about Jesus. They make fun of them. They think they're too clever to bother with God. And they say things like, I've got golf to play on Sundays. Much better than going to church. You might even find someone like this in church, a fool. They like the tradition and the hymns, but when they hear somebody telling them that there is something they need to do or even stop doing, they say, well, no, I don't want anyone to tell me what to do. I like to think of God as a nice, friendly person who makes me happy. Well, that is saying no to the God of the Bible. He's a fool as well. So the men report back to David. And David says, put on your swords. You know what he's going to do? Put up your hand if you know what he's planning to do. William, he's going to fight them and he's planning to kill Nabal and all his family. Things look pretty bad for the fool. We need to meet the second person in the story. It's a woman. Her name was Abigail. You saw her played by Katrina. Beautiful and intelligent is what we're told in the Bible. How did she meet and marry her stupid husband? We don't know. We don't know how that happened. The story doesn't tell us, but she did. Rich but nasty man married to a beautiful, intelligent woman. What's she going to do? Well, as soon as she hears, she finds out, she heads for the kitchen. She gets loads of raisins and bread and cakes and everything together, and she heads out because she realized that David and his men are coming like a tidal wave to kill her and her husband. She doesn't just wait and see. She doesn't just hope for the best. She does something. She doesn't just wait and see. She doesn't just hope for the best. She does something. Straight to the kitchen and then straight out to meet David. So you can imagine the meeting. David, really angry, fists clenched. He's going to kill Nabal. And Abigail, beautiful woman coming towards him. Soon as she sees him, gets off her horse, gets down on her knees and says, "Please don't do it. Here's lots of food for you. Pay no attention to my stupid husband." If I'd been there, I wouldn't have let him do that. She's saying, "I know who you are. I know you're the king who's coming. I know you're going to be in charge. I know you're going to be the one who rules everyone. So please don't kill people now." And wonderfully, David, God's future king, in verse 35, agrees. He says, "I've heard your words," and he shows mercy. Now, if the example of Nabal was meant to say, "Don't be a fool," the example of Abigail is meant to be wise and accept God's kitten. How does someone recognize God's king and submit to him today? Who are today's Abigails, apart from Katrina, who is beautiful and intelligent? They are those who hear about Jesus, they realize the bad news, and they don't wait and see. They do something. They go to the king and they ask for mercy. Now, it's like that with me just before I became a Christian. I heard about Jesus and who he was and the fact that he had a right to judge me for my sin. And it was that understanding that came just before I trusted Christ. Maybe you could meet Abigails in the workplace. They've always thought they were fine. And when it comes to God, one day they've someone come to them who explains how bad the situation is. And instead of saying, "Don't be silly, you don't have to believe all that," they realize it's serious. And they turn and believe in Jesus. They start the Christian life. Maybe you could meet someone like this at school. Maybe it's another nativity play. And they've been through 7 nativity plays already, but this time they realize God came to earth as a man, as a baby, and became a man who would come back to judge the world. And they realize that's going to happen. They say sorry to God, and they trust Christ. So the Bible presents us with a choice. Did you see the choice that's here in this story? Nabal or Abigail? Fool or wise man? Reject the coming king or accept the coming king? It is that simple. The Bible is very, very clear. It presents us with a choice. Do you remember Jesus said choices like this? He said, "You can build your house on sand or you can build it on rock." He said, "You can be fast asleep when the groom comes or you can be ready." The Bible's not like the weather, which can be any grade of sunny to rainy and everything in between. It is very black and white. Will you accept the coming king or will you say no thanks and be a fool? Do you see how clear it is? How David is God's coming king in the Old Testament and Jesus is God's coming king in this. So in the end of the story, the fool who rejects God's king ends up having a heart attack and dies. Now, it's not my story, this is God's story, and this is how it ends. God's judge, and he deals judgment on the one who rejects God's coming king. But the one who accepts, Abigail, the widow, well, she's welcomed in and marries God's coming king. What a great picture for all those who will trust Christ. Now, if you've recognized Jesus as king, praise him for opening your eyes. Build your house on the rock. But if you're still a Nabal, there is still time. Pray for God's help to soften your heart, to believe in God's coming king, and be forgiven for all your sin. You've heard a great story. You know who Nabal is. You know who Abigail is. You know it's about being a fool or being wise.